Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
When it comes to difficult and disturbing books, our esteemed literary critic Cara Martin is fearless, boldly going where other readers may fear to tread. Hi, Cara.
Greetings.
This is quite a story, isn't it? It's a novel inspired by the horrific case of Joseph Fritzl, the Austrian man who locked his daughter away in a cellar for 24 years, had a number of children with her. It is a very disturbing read indeed, and I'm sure you deserve a medal for bravery for taking yourself through it. So what's it like?
Okay, the book is Room by Emma Donoghue, and in some ways it was inspired by that case, but it's quite a different story, and it's a different story for two things. First of all, rather than this captor taking a daughter, this captor kidnaps a 19-year-old university student, but he does imprison her for 7 years. The heroine, who we know as Ma, is kept as a sex slave for those 7 years, so that's pretty horrific. The thing that sort of makes it, I guess, more bearable in a strange way is that the whole story is told through the eyes of the 5-year-old son, Jack, that she actually has as a result of this abusive relationship. So in a way, hearing things through a 5-year-old is almost a more palatable way of hearing some of these disturbing things that are happening.
It's a really interesting dynamic to use. Does it, I mean, it may sound a ridiculous thing to ask, but does it intrude a bit of innocence almost into such a horror story? It's a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it does, because what he's describing is sounds and things. So the reader then has the ability to use as much of their imagination as they want to actually fill in the details. I think that's a contrast in some ways to the Stieg Larsson books and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and some of those others, where a lot of the sexual stuff and the violent stuff is very graphic. Yes. Having it sort of told through the eyes of a 5-year-old, makes it a bit easier to read. And as the reader, you're a bit more in control of what you're thinking about. And it also means, and Donoghue herself has said this, that she didn't want it to turn into a voyeuristic exercise. She didn't want it to be salacious in any way. She just wanted people to get enough of a sense of how horrible this experience would be.
Can I ask you personally how you found it, reading it, wading through this book?
Yeah, it was, I think what surprised me about the book, and I hope I'm not giving spoilers away, but the first half is her trapped in this room with her son and with these regular visits from this horrible monster. And it's hard to read that because, along with her, the son's sort of telling things, and you just know she's dreading these visits from this guy, and you're just trying to figure out with her, how are they going to get out of this? How are they going to break out?
Yes.
But the other half of the book is about after they've escaped, which was a whole dimension I hadn't been anticipating in a way, and that's actually a really intriguing part of the book, and that becomes, the fascinating part of the book to read.
Yeah. Mm. It also questions our culture by describing how they escape from this.
That's right, because, I mean, if you think about it, this 5-year-old boy has never been in the outside world. So it's almost like someone has come from out of space and then sees what's going on for the first time, and that's what it's like for this 5-year-old boy. He's never seen the outside world. So there's a few things he does which just challenge, I guess, our culture a bit. For example, he's in a shopping centre, and first of all, he's dazzled by it all, but he takes a book because when he's in his room, there's no such thing as ownership. This is mine or this is yours or
money
or buying things or anything like that. So he sees a book, he takes a book because he wants to read it. And then, of course, he gets in trouble for shoplifting and all this other stuff, which to him just seems ridiculous. If someone has something that you can use, why not just give it to them? Mm. And the other thing that was amusing in a way was he goes to stay with his grandmother. And, of course, he's lived all his life up to now in one tiny room, and he sees her house. And he's saying, how many people live here, you know? And it's just her and her partner, and she's trying to explain it, you know, like we have a place where we sleep, and then we have a place where we cook, and we have a place where we eat, and then there's a place where we relax, and there's a place where we watch TV. And
each in a different room.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for him, that's mind-boggling. And then he said the most astounding thing was they had a room that was spared just in case someone came by, and he just thought that was ridiculous. And I guess it really began to question some of the things we almost take for granted, or the way we've set up our culture. And from the eyes of an innocent person who's never been exposed to that, some things do seem quite ridiculous.
Yes, indeed. And the woman managed to educate her son.
Yeah, I found this really fascinating as a mother of two kids who was quite intentional about how I educated my children. I can't imagine what it would be like to just be stuck in a tiny room with a very active young child. And she is so creative about the way that she educates her child, and she keeps him physically fit. And in fact, when they come out, the psychologists are amazed at his intellectual ability. They thought he would be quite backward, but she's done such a creative program of education for him that he's completely up to speed. And in a way, what that does is she actually describes that, well, Jack describes what he's going through, and there's some wonderful ideas there about that. But also it's a wonderful testimony to the mother-child bond.
Yes.
It's really beautiful.
Just quickly, there's an element of faith and morality in this.
Now, this was something I didn't expect in this book at all. One of the things that she does as part of this educational program is teach him about Jesus, tell him the Bible stories. They say grace before every meal because they're thankful for every bit of food, and they pray. And actually, in an interview after they've escaped, when the interviewer says, oh, surely it was your faith that helped you, and that was why you taught your son. And she says simply, it was something that I had that I could pass on, which is actually a very simple but a really beautiful thing, and something you don't often see in a secular book. The other thing was talk about morality. One of the things that Jack has problems dealing with is how could this person be so evil, so bad? And often in books you have characters who are really evil and they're obviously bad and they deserve to be punished, but everyone else is basically good. But Jack's ma actually says that there's good and there's bad, and we're in between. So it's almost, it's an acknowledgement of sin, which you don't often find, again, in popular books. And it's great to have that acknowledged.
It's a powerful book all around, by the sound of it. Room, Emma Donoghue, Cara Martin, esteemed book critic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always great to see you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.